guitar, an amazing instrument, and has developed into an incredible voice in today's music. So many types of guitars, so many styles of playing, all sorts of gear. How does one make their voice be heard as a guitarist? My name is Jeff Floro, and welcome to All About Guitar, where we talk tone, we talk technique, we talk gear. Discover how we can become better musicians in a world of constantly changing technologies, where we take a good look at everything guitar, and sometimes not exactly guitar, but just as important, so we can be more successful as a musician in today's music scene. So sit back and relax, and let's explore All About Guitar. Welcome to All About Guitar. I have a great show for you tonight, and it's going to be an interesting one because we get to take a really close look at the synergy and collaboration between two great artists. We're going to look at a couple of albums that they have done together and look at their relationship and how both of them are great guitar players and singer-songwriters, because I think it's important to see working with a singer-songwriter as a guitar player, as an arranger, as a producer, all those different hats. And it's important to know how to do that in this industry. So I want to welcome two guests, Jackie Bristow and Mark Punch. The last couple of days, I've been going through their music and pulling clips, which you're going to hear in a few minutes. It's beautiful stuff, great stuff. Jackie's a singer-songwriter guitarist and writes some great stuff. Most of the music here is written by her. Mark Punch is also a singer-songwriter, guitarist, and does most of the guitar overdubs, especially electric guitar, which we'll take a look at. But he's also a producer and arranger. So there's many hats here, both of them interacting together. I just want to welcome both of you guys. It's so great to have you guys on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jim.
Nice to be here.
And I'm going to open up with a clip. It's the title track of one of the albums. We're going to listen to two albums that Jackie did as our examples. One of them is Freedom, and the other one, the more recent one, Shot of Gold. We're going to listen to some clips from that. But the first one is the title track to Freedom, and it shows the energy and I think it's a good defining song to show what you guys are about. So let me play that real quick and take a listen. Energy. I just love
Thank
that.
You.
It's a great tune. Let me start out with Jackie. I want to go through both of you, get a little bit of your backgrounds, where you hail from, and your musical influences and how you started, all that. So I'll start with you.
Well, I'm a Kiwi. I'm originally from New Zealand, from a little country town down the south of New Zealand called Gore. And I grew up, I started singing at school in the school choir and stuff when I was like 8 and 11. Mm-hmm. And my sister, 3 years younger than me, we started performing on this circuit around New Zealand, this country music circuit, from where the Bristow sisters. and then did that for like a decade, and mm-hmm. then I moved to Australia, and early on in Australia I met Mark, and that was before I had my first record deal, or I just sort of started to write songs, and I met Mark, and I got a record deal and made an album, and he played guitar and sort of was mentored me and encouraged me to write songs.
What was your influences? What did you listen to as a that got you into guitar? And I mean, what were your influences in guitar and singing?
Well, guitar is Sean Colvin, but I started playing guitar when I was younger. It was really just to back myself, and I would sing songs from Dolly Parton and Willie Nelson and Kris Kristofferson, stuff like that. And then I just learned back myself. And then when I went to Australia and I met Mark, I kind of got turned on to Sean Colvin, and I really loved her guitar playing. So mm-hmm. it was a big influence.
Did you weren't influenced by the British or all the what was happening rock and roll wise or at that time or folk? Any
no,
of the
I
folk?
Think that might have been before my time so much. I don't
really?
Know that was what was going on there. I'm not sure.
And then you just picked up.
I love pop music, and mm-hmm. like Cyndi Lauper and Crash.
Well, I mean, I don't know what out there what was popular.
In New Zealand when I was growing up, there was Boy George.
Oh, okay.
Boy George and Crowded House, New Zealand band Crowded House.
I remember. Yes, they're very.
Cyndi Lauper. I loved all that pop music too.
Okay, so you met him when you went to Australia.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, real quick, Mark, what was your influences and when did you start? And
in the Paleolithic era, I started. No, I started when I was a little kid. My brother was a record collector and obsessed with Elvis, and we got into the Beatles when we were little kids. So I was pretty obsessed when I was a teenager and just got into... And then we got into Stax and R&B. So I was obsessed with Steve Cropper, James Burton, Scotty Moore, Albert King, B.B. King, all those people. And when I got into out of school, I just never got a job. I just started playing in bands, and I've been doing that ever since.
Was there a big music scene in Australia?
Yeah, so there was. It was a fantastic scene Well, really I was still at school, but in the late 60s on into the 70s and 80s, there was a really thriving club scene. You know, bands would do 2 and 3 gigs a night going around the city, different mm-hmm. places. But it's Sydney now is very different. It's kind of...
Based in Sydney.
Yeah. And then I got into studios, playing in studios in the 80s and 90s.
So the main scene was in Sydney, as a because I don't know.
Not really. Actually, Melbourne was always kind of the center of pop music in a sense, whereas Sydney was more R&B orientated jazz. But yes, Melbourne has always had a great music scene actually from the 60s on. Mm. But I never lived there. I worked there a lot in the late 70s, but. Both cities have, I'd say Melbourne has still much, much more thriving industry now than Sydney. Mm-hmm. Sydney's sort of live music has been, because of local governments and all the nonsense they get up to with the licensing and stuff, it's kind of killed off a lot of venues in Sydney.
Yeah.
Whereas Melbourne seems to have kept its live scene going.
So it's still, even now, it's pretty vibrant.
Yeah.
And then what you were saying before, Jackie, those influences, earlier influences, what you were listening to, that was in New Zealand?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
When you got to Australia, I mean, got exposed to much more.
Yeah, when I got to Australia, I got sort of introduced to singer-songwriter. Well, you know, Joni Mitchell and Ricky Lee Jones and Sean Colvin.
Oh, okay.
That kind of stuff, Neil Young.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, I'm going to play another clip that just shows, because one of the things that you, even in that opening clip that you can hear, tasty little riffs and fills that you're doing, Mark, that you're doing off in and out of the whole thing. And but this one I put together, he just does some really cool guitar work in here, and it's a beautiful song. It's called Pray for the Love. I'm going to play that, and then I want to ask you guys to show me what you're doing, because one of the things we were talking about, you were in your playing, Jackie, she uses a technique that I've seen in banjo where she uses her index finger as a strum to strum, because she's using her fingers. She's not using a pick, at least when she was warming up before the show. And it's called, in banjo, it's called flailing, because she does kind of like a banjo type of rhythm thing. You know what I'm talking about. So I'm not sure if it's in this specific cat, but there's some really cool things that she does. As we listen to the songs, listen to what she's doing when she finger picks, too, besides the interplay that Mark does with the riffs. But I want to play Holy Mess. And again, these are vocals. These are songs. I've cut pieces together to show what the guitars are doing. So not to do injustice, but there's a lot of very cool vocals on this. Let me play this clip, and then let's talk about this, because there's some really interesting things that you're doing here.
Catholic Church to frown on you with a holy judgment. Your mama ran away with a cowboy. She left you holding the baby and the toys. She was making up for all she sacrificed. Everybody's doing their best. It's a holy mess. Everybody's saying their prayers. Grandma liked a drink or two. 20 years passed by before she knew. She woke up on the kitchen floor, sober. It was a rude awakening when nobody looked the same. And they can't forgive the pain it caused them. Everybody's doing their best. It's a holy mess. Everybody's saying their prayers. End of the day. Everybody's doing their best. It's a holy mess. Everybody's seeing.
My apologies. I was thinking of, there's just so many things I want to ask you guys about these songs. I went right to the second song instead of the first one. I was supposed to play Pray for the Love, but I was playing Holy Mess, which is okay, because you do a really cool slide in there. And one of the things that I liked in that song and I thought was interesting was the interplay between you and the bassist, which is Chris Marsh.
Yeah, he's a Austin bass player, and we actually recorded that album in Austin.
So, real quick to Mark, was that basically a head chart? Did you guys just sit down with the chords and then go through it, or did you have specific things for him to do?
No, it was pretty off the cuff, because we just ran through it a couple of times with chords, the basic chords, and that's a live take. We added a piano in Australia after that big piano, but the slide stuff and Jackie's acoustic, I think, is all live.
And the drums
and bass.
Yeah, the drummer is JJ Johnson, and the bass player is Chris Marsh, and they were from Austin, and I was living in Austin at the time, and we recorded those particular songs in this awesome church, and it just had a good vibe, and we kind of captured it live. We kept the live vocal too.
It definitely has a very cool groove. But what Chris is doing with those, he just does these little bizarre little chord things that are just counterpoint what you're doing.
Well, I had no idea what he was going to do. It just felt right. You know?
Yeah. Now, what were you? You were using the telly for that? Is that your primary, or do you use anything else in recording?
Well, that particular track, I was just using this Telecaster because that's all I had with me, actually. So it's just this and a little Fender amp.
Just a little amp. Was that cranked up, or did you use distortion?
You cranked it up.
This is a great sound.
Thanks.
All throughout the album, there's just some great stuff, and your slide is great playing. But you also do You'll play lines, and we'll hear this in some of the other songs where you do like a volume pedal type of thing. I presume you're doing it from your volume control, or are you using a pedal?
Sometimes I was using a pedal. Sometimes I'm doing it manually from the guitar.
So you do like a kind of like a pedal steel effect where you're kind of and then you'll do these little lines that sustain out and very 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 cool. And that also, too, I wanted to ask was, Jackie, on that song, you're using the Maiden, right?
Yeah, that's the Maiden. And that tuning on that guitar on that song was the open tuning one on the Holy Mess.
Well, actually, go through the tuning right now. Just strum that.
Okay. It's, it's D-A-E, F-sharp, A-D.
A great sounding guitar.
Thanks. It's played a few gigs.
It's interesting too. We were looking it up. The actual model is the Maiden 808, and it's got a spruce top, Sitka spruce, but it has blackwood back and sides. I've never seen.
I think it's from Tasmania.
Oh, okay.
You know, the little island on the bottom of Australia. They have amazing forests there, incredible woods.
It's highly figured. We couldn't tell. I mean, I had to look it up to find out what it was, but it didn't look like a mahogany, and it was kind of light for a rosewood, but it had a similar grain pattern. But it's a really nice-sounding guitar, obviously broken-in, road-proven.
It's my only... Well, I do have another guitar, but I just...
This is your main one.
But Tommy Emmanuel tours with these guitars too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
They're very, very beautiful guitar. Let me go ahead and go back to the song I was supposed to play, Pray for the Love. Let's play that, and then I want to go through a little bit of what you did on there, because this is the one where you're doing these really cool little fills in there with her playing. So let me play Pray for the Love.
I pray for the love.
Wash over me in the wings you can see. These happier days again, they show in my face. Oh, now you give yourself up. It doesn't prove anything, doesn't make it okay. Oh, the damage is done. Will I ever be the same? I don't want to carry around the shame. Don't wanna blame, but you feel like a sin. It was me who let you in.
I pray for the love. Shine on everyone. I pray for the love.
Yes, I do.
Shine on. Shine on.
And I walk the streets alone.
It makes sense now what you're doing guitar-wise, because that, especially at that last part, the last 20 seconds of it, you're doing a real cool R&B type of little rhythm thing in there. That's just really nice.
Yeah, it's kind of, it's kind of James Brown through Nile Rodgers, you know, to thousands of others. You know, I've ripped off every lick you could ever imagine in the last 40 years. No, but it's sort of, you know, yeah, just kind of funk guitar part, really, mixed in with a bigger slide. In the choruses.
Yeah, no, you're using that, but there's actually, you're overdubbing a couple of things. You have a couple of different guitars. Yeah. Is that just the Tele, or were you using another guitar? And there was also like a really high tinkly acoustic too going on. There was like, it sounded like finger picking a little bit, because you're doing a kind of a basic strum.
That one I probably played with the pick and a strum, but I can't remember. Maybe you overdubbed an acoustic part. Yeah.
Like a high octave part, but I can't actually remember, to be honest.
with those riffs, I mean, you were doing some really cool little things in there. You're kind of breaking it. The fills that you play. Now, there's also the organ was just tasty as all.
Yeah.
That's a great organ.
It's Clayton Dolly. He's a fantastic Hammond player.
From Sydney.
But was that a live take, too?
But we didn't keep the live vocal on that. We didn't keep.
Rhythm section is live. It's me.
We didn't keep as much of that one. Although it's the same rhythm section.
Matt redid the bass.
Was that Chris on the bass?
That's actually an Australian producer and bass player called Matt Fowle.
Okay, that was
super
Matt.
Super talented guy. Yeah.
Yeah. No. It great it's sound. Well. So you laid the main strum guitar. Yeah. And then which guitar did you lay down in the bass on that first track?
That funk part, the little rhythm thing, is this Telecaster. That was originally with the drums and bass.
Mm-hmm.
And then I added the slide stuff at a later date in Sydney.
Actually. Oh, okay. So you were, same thing, a little small Fender?
Just trying to remember. I had a Vox, actually, in my place at that point, so it might have been an AC30, the other dubs.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. I sort of went at that point. I had a 59 Bassman, the AC30, and a couple of little Fenders.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure which way around. The slide, I think, was Vox. But the original guitar, the rhythm funk part is.
Because you're getting some interesting sounds. I think in one part you're using, it sounds like both pickups, so it has kind of that kind
yeah.
of that. Go ahead.
Oh. Yeah,
it gets that
middle position.
And then you when you're doing that like James Brown type of thing, was that the rhythm pickup or was that both?
Basically the middle, both.
Both of them?
In the middle position, yeah.
It's a great sound, Nat. It's just rich. And now, what do you use? You don't use the AC in the basement now. What do you use now?
Actually, I'm ashamed to say I sold the basement a few years ago, but I still have the AC30. I just got to figure out how to get it here. It's in Sydney. It's still in Sydney, in my brother's studio, actually, at the moment.
Oh, okay. Now, this brings up the question, how do you approach doing this live? How would you do this live as opposed to...
You don't. It's that song, you mean, Prayer mm-hmm. for Love. We actually haven't done that for a long time because it's hard to... We kind of conjured up something on the tape which we can't really reproduce as a duo.
You need the rhythm section.
I mean,
to really
we can, but it's hard to get the same...
We have to rethink it in a bit.
But when we play live, we mostly work as a duo. We have a band as well. And when we play in LA in a couple of weeks, we're playing with a band. But it's really just the two of us. We just make the most of the acoustic guitar and then Mark's guitar, amazing guitar solos. And Mark's such a great guitar player, like really to backing a singer-songwriter too. It really makes the song shine. And Mark gets excited and digs in, and so it's exciting for guitar players, but then he never really overtakes too much.
No,
you know what I mean? Like, he doesn't overtake the song. He brings out
yeah.
the yeah, it's
to.
A real
probably do
I think
actually,
one of my yeah that's yeah he's amazing at that. So we've played together for a long time, so we have a certain songs that do work better just as the two of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
some of them.
But I mean, now how do you approach with the band? Would you do the song with the band? I mean, it's such an anthem. I mean, it's a
yeah,
great little song.
I stopped singing that song a little bit.
It's tricky because the backing vocals are so great on that. Hard to... Unless you've got a couple of other people, the chorus just doesn't sound right without that group, you know. So we've sort of stayed away from that song for a while because we've really had a chance to
mm-hmm.
and
have
also,
enough people to do it.
You tend to want to do your new songs. So
oh, that's true.
So you keep doing new songs, and then it's just kind of fun to hear you pull them out, and we're like, oh, should have sung that song for a little while. That's another
well,
song.
Well, it's a
I've
good.
Got.
It's a good. It is a good song.
Thanks.
Well, let's take a look. I want to go a little bit more into your creative process. So mm-hmm. you write this song, whatever it is,
yeah.
and what do you do? You probably have specific things that you want to happen in the song, right? How does that work
I have a feeling when I write the song. I don't tell Mark what to play or anything. It's just normally.
She tells me when she doesn't like it.
Yeah, but normally, because Mark kind of encouraged my songwriting from the start. So when I first started writing songs, I would take them to Mark and play them to him, and then he'd be like, "Oh, that's good," and he'd write a bridge or whatever. So it was always a collaboration. Although I do write a lot on my own, and then we'd just start playing, and Mark would start playing what he thought, and then it was sort of.
Oh, okay.
Just
so
like
you
that.
Just present the song,
yeah.
But I'm not. But you don't. You don't like. Well, you know, it would be really cool if we had some organ in here, or you don't.
Yeah,
you don't
a little, think that, a little bit.
But you would suggest
a little bit like that
when we've been in a situation of doing an album.
Yeah, when we're in the studio, I get involved in that way. But,
not so much early on when you're writing it.
Yeah,
we're just sort of forming it up, really.
Well, let me flip it now and go to Mark. So, how do you approach it? She comes to you with a song or pieces of song you're going to put together the parts.
Yeah.
So, how do you approach it? Are you thinking in terms of how you're going to do it as a duet, or are you thinking about just recording the album?
Usually I'm just thinking about how to make it sound the best to record it, whatever it takes, you know what I mean,
mm-hmm.
in whatever form.
Or you're just thinking about the song.
Yeah.
Thinking about the song.
But in terms of recording it.
In the terms of writing it.
Oh, yeah, but after that, you know, how it could be, whether it's be a rhythm section or whether it would be, like, the Shot of Gold album was completely different than Freedom album because Jackie started just playing by herself. And I recorded that, and then I built things around that.
They're more
so
intimate
band as such,
arrangements. Yeah. It's more like the duo.
Yeah.
And in terms of recording, so the sky's the limit. If you want strings, if you want organ, keyboards, vocals.
My credit card's the limit, really.
Well,
for string sections. No, I'm kidding, but within reason.
He's not kidding.
So whatever you need, then after that you look at figuring out how to do it live.
Break it down to a duo or a four-piece band. Well, that's one reason. I mean, I love Pray for the Love, but the reason we don't do it normally is because we don't have the BVs, and it's frustrating because I've got that sound in my head all the time since that.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what I mean?
Sometimes the musicians that you get to come into the studio, they bring stuff too, like the drummer JJ Johnson, who plays with Tedeschi Trucks.
Mm-hmm.
He's got such a beautiful feel and bounce. He really generated a lot of energy for us too. Didn't
he's
Mark?
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
He's fantastic.
Yeah,
great drummer.
Well, let me. Speaking of the newer album, Shot of Gold, I'm gonna play. I want to play the clip Whistleblowing because you have Mark Collins on there on banjo. It's some of the most beautiful banjo lines. And again, it's interesting because it's kind of a counterpoint. The banjo kind of counterpoints what you're singing and stuff. And I think it's interesting because a lot of times they just do the finger picking, the standard thing. And you're having it. He's doing, on several of the songs, he does like melodic things that kind of work.
And he wrote that melody. Mark Collins came up with that melody,
And there's both, if I'm hearing it correctly, there's both on an acoustic guitar, you're finger picking in some places and you're strumming in other places.
Yeah, just sort of. Sort of like that.
Yeah. Well, let me go ahead and play the clip and then we'll talk a little more about what you're doing. And this one has that that like pedal steel effect that you're doing. Now, is that a volume pedal on this clip?
Yeah, it
okay.
is.
So let's this one's called Whistleblowing, and this is off of the newest album, Shot of Gold. Take a listen.
I thought I saw you at the station. All around the leaves were falling. I don't know, but something's changing. Wish I could get off this train. I thought I heard you call my name. It was just the wheels a turning. Ooh, ooh. Hear the whistle blow. Thank you. is coming on. I can feel a cold front blowing, and I don't.
This is great playing. And there is that two guitars? Are you double? Did you overdub?
I actually overdubbed. I just remembered what happened. Jackie did the original with her guitar, the Maiden, and I overdubbed another sort of straighter acoustic part with a 50s Gibson J50.
A J50?
Yeah.
It's a beautiful sound. And also, too, did you mixed it, right?
Yeah.
Because the mix is just crystal clear, and there's a lot of... You can hear, like, this one guitar is over a little bit over to the right or the left, and then you can... I mean, it has a lot of dimension to it and just a lot of space. This album, it's not as... Freedom has more of the full band. This one doesn't, but it's got depth in it. It's really... the best way I can explain it, it has more of an intimate sound.
Yeah.
Because you feel like you're...
Well, there's no drum kit as such, which everything else opens out once you haven't got a drum kit pounding away.
And mm-hmm. they were all live vocals. Like, I play guitar and sing, and we kept those performances, and we built around the performance. Because there's a difference from singing on top of a track later, and then I'm so used to playing guitar and singing at the same time. So we tried it from that angle, didn't we?
So you're more comfortable playing while you're singing.
I like to, yeah, feel much more comfortable.
That's a great rhythm. I mean, she's using that index finger to do the main strum, which is like a banjo flailing technique. It's great. And it's just but you're doing like those little finger picking,
yeah,
those little arpeggios up on the top.
Yeah.
That Gibson sounds great.
Oh, it's a great guitar. That's still in Sydney. I've got to get that here somewhere.
And then the volume pedal guitar, is this Tele? Same Tele, or was it another guitar?
What was that? Yes, it is this.
It is that one.
I do have a Strat, a 50s Stratocaster too, but I use that on some tracks, but not on that one.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me play another clip. I want to play another clip from the title clip, Shot of Gold. And this is, you're doing a dobro solo, just to kind of show.
Yeah, I borrowed a friend's dobro.
Because this is, again, these songs are full songs. There's a lot of singing, great vocal work. This dobro playing is just tasty. So take a listen. That's just a great sounding part. And also, too, again, if you get a chance, listen to this in headphones, because you can really hear all of the instruments and the guitars and the mix. The space between the ears is just amazing. And again, it sounds like there's two acoustic guitars.
Yeah, there is. There's another, that, again, Jackie's original, and I think I used the... mandocello on that too.
Oh,
Irish bouzouki, you know, the mm-hmm. eight string big brother to the mandolin.
Big brother. Yeah, there's a couple of songs on here we will play it later that have, yeah, I thought it sounded like a mandolin, but if it's the...
Well, there is a mandolin on some tracks actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But that one you're tuning. Now I want to ask you, what was your tuning on that song?
That's the same tuning as Holy Mess. It's the D A F sharp A D.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned that tuning originally. I years ago recorded with Larry Klein, and he taught me the tuning, and it was obviously a Joni Mitchell tuning. And then so I've just learned, made up chords, and I've written a lot of songs in this tuning.
Now you're using capo 3 there.
Yeah, I love capo, but.
That's beautiful. No, it's great, and it. The open tuning just opens up a whole new dimension to that.
No, now, I love the open tuning. I love the open tuning also for writing, because I feel like it helps inspire different melodies and different, it's just, and also teaching yourself new chords, so don't get stuck in a chord pattern.
Mm-hmm. Mm. It gives you more.
Although now I sort of am, because I've been playing it for so long.
Yeah, you can get stuck in that too. That becomes another track sometimes. Yeah.
So, well, no, yeah, it's true. Well, Joni would use like 15 different tunings.
Yeah.
She'd go through everything.
So I felt pretty lucky to learn this one, though, because I've written so many songs in it.
Yes. Mm. Yes. And then you, for live, then I assume you use the Tele for that. To get the instead of the dobro, but what was the dobro tune to?
It's just normal,
just a standard guitar tune. Guitar tunes, so for the most part, you use a standard tuning for all of your.
Not really. Actually, I did drop D because I'm always with Jackie. I'm actually mostly in the last 10 years. I've always got the E string down to a D.
Oh, okay. So everything else is standard tuning except for the low D.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I've got addicted to it now.
That's interesting, though, because you're getting, well, you do more. I noticed in the songs that you when you play, you do more single line stuff though, but you get some chords in there, and most of the guys that do slide, they like the chord tuning, you know, for a standard tuning because they can grab the chord real fast. But you get it, but it. I hear more single line stuff that you're doing in the background a lot.
Right.
So.
I don't know. I just.
And who were you? Well, let me ask you this too. What influenced you in terms of slide playing and the pedal, the volume pedal type of thing?
God, just trying to. I've always loved, the. So, you know, just the pedal steel, really. The atmospheric stuff that people would do on Nashville stuff, you know, with pedal steel.
So you listened to a lot of Nashville tracks that are coming out?
I used to, you know. But I've always loved that the swell thing with the volume pedal.
Mm-hmm.
And just tried to transplant that onto guitar like many others. Larry Carlton is a genius at that, too.
Yeah.
There's many people. And the slide... there's many people. I mean, I still love Muddy Waters stuff. You know, he was in Chicago blues stuff. Fred McDowell, all the blues slide players. But in the modern era, I think I'm just trying to get absorbed, integrated in some way, so it doesn't sound so much like a slide. I mean, it does on that dobro track, but when we play live, Derek Trucks is a genius at this to me.
Mm-hmm.
He flips between, you don't know when he's playing slide and when he isn't, in a way. But it's just so beautifully integrated. I think he's the greatest thing happening in the world right now. And he's been a huge inspiration, really, to just try and integrate the slide into, because it becomes a new instrument in a way, you know what I mean? It opens up the whole thing.
Yeah, well,
listening
to the tracks, some of your slide playing, it's just like another vocal.
Well, that's what I'm aiming for. That's great. That's a great compliment. Thank you, because that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to make it another voice.
Really. Yeah, as opposed to a harmonic type of thing, like a keyboard or, you know, playing a chord. Because a lot of pedal steel players, they function that way, too.
Yeah, they're the keyboard part.
They're the accompanist, as opposed to the line, playing a line that's... And it's interesting, too, and you can hear it, the counterpoint between you guys, the way you play off of each other, because there's definitely an interaction there. Because what you play, it complements. You might not be doing the same line or something. You're not imitating her, which would be like a classical thing, but you're actually doing something that kind of answers her, but in a unique way. And in that unique way makes it's kind of an interesting back and forth thing.
Well, I hope so. If that's happening, that's what I'm aiming for. Thank you.
Well, let me play. I'm going to play this song, Fallen Youth. And the acoustic guitars, I think, is that mandolin or mandocello?
I'd have to hear it.
All right, I'll play it.
I just forgot.
And there's also, too, I want to ask you, because there's a guitar that's playing really high up, like a tinkly thing. It sounded like a Nashville tuning. I don't know if you've ever used that.
Yeah, I used to in studios. I haven't got a guitar set up for that at this moment, but...
Well, let me play the clip, and you tell me what's happening here. I think you'll figure it out from hearing it, but it's just great. The interaction again, and then that mandolin is in there. So let me play Fallen Youth.
Cause there's no glory when it comes to this. No grand farewell, no final kiss. The taste is bitter and it fouls the mouth. It never fades for the fallen youth. No, it never fades for the fallen youth.
Now, there was some interesting things going on. I presume all the slide stuff is just the telly, because it sounded at the beginning of that clip there was like a dobro, unless that was just the sound of the guitar. No, you had that.
It's just the Telecaster, really. And you're right, it's double-track mandolin parts.
That is a mandolin.
Yeah.
It's not the mandocello. Yeah. But there, you heard those high guitar parts. It sounded like a Nashville tuning, but I don't know.
I think it's just the mandolin fooling a bit, because I played two parts. Two different inversions, I think, on the mandolin chord.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because it's really...
I'm not a mandolin player, but I just faked it because there was no one in the room and I could do it 100 times.
Now, you, the mandolin, do you play it in a mandolin tuning or do you tune it like a guitar?
It is mandolin tuning.
Okay.
But, you know, I'm very slow to get a part right because I'm not a mandolin player.
Okay. And then you were just doing one guitar part, or did you double?
I think I just played one guitar part when I played live. I might have done something else afterwards. I don't think so, though. It's just that's just in a standard tuning. That's all. Yeah.
Now live, what would you do? You just do the telly parts?
I do the mandolin lines, but on the Telecaster.
Because one of the things that was kind of cool, you were talking about the influence of steel guitar. That was one of the songs where you're doing these chord things. You were doing some lines, yeah. But then you go in and you do these little chord. And there was one where you swelled it up and then you slid, which is a very kind of steel guitarish type of thing, though it's easier for them to do it with the slide.
Yeah.
But you actually, it was an interesting sound. Very, very, very cool. And it's just, again, I can't say enough how open and full. I mean, you feel like you're in the middle of the whole thing. The way that is, the way it's mixed, it's just, you're right in there and everything's just crystal clear. So I have to mention that, because when you guys listen to this in headphones, you can hear it's just really the space. There's a lot of air and a lot of space in it.
And we also printed this album on vinyl.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it sounds really good on the vinyl.
It actually sounds better off the record for some reason. Who knows why, but the vinyl sounds really good.
Well, there's something to be said about analog. I'm a big fan. But the speaking of recording a little bit, for example, how do you mic her guitar? Is there a specific mic of choice, or and also for her voice, or are you?
Actually, Jackie did two of these vocals and guitar things here in LA. And
that was to tape.
To tape.
They were to tape, but we didn't do it to
but
tape.
But I didn't. She came back to Sydney and we started doing the other songs. I didn't have, for whatever reason, I didn't have my tape recorder happening at that point. And I just recorded with her on one mic, with balancing between the vocal and the guitar.
What mic was it though?
It was one of my brothers. He's got a lot of great old gear, and it's a 60-era Sony C37.
Those are nice.
Tube mic.
Those are really, really...
Yeah, it's a beautiful-sounding mic.
Yeah.
There's no...
They're very rare, but they're...
Top end. It's no scratchy. It's a beautiful, soft, gentle top.
So you guys, do you like to record analog? Do you record to tape and then mix later digitally?
I normally would have, but I didn't, you know, strangely at that point. But normally I have a little tape recorder, which I do Jackie's vocal through. But then lay it onto Pro Tools.
And lay it onto Pro Tools there.
And overdub on, in tools land, but hopefully get the vocals.
Now, when you record the guitars, especially her guitar, do you do it in a stereo miking, or do you just do a single mic?
If I'd had the luxury of having mics, I would have done that, but I only had one, my brother's C37, so I just got a combination.
And the Shot of Gold album, we really recorded it in Mark's living room. We weren't in a studio.
It was a great sounding room.
Yeah, it was a beautiful old building.
With a high ceiling. Yeah. Really beautiful old building.
Now, would you put the mic close to her guitar, or now I have the mic less than a foot, or is that
about where this is actually?
A little bit, yeah. So it caught the vocal and acoustic.
Okay, I'm going to take a picture of that so that they can see the relationship of that.
Oh, this mic.
Yeah. Because that, and where do you place it? Is it like where I have it more towards the bridge? I mean, I have it up high because I'm grabbing her vocal too from it, but the
probably that like that, yeah.
So you get it, you're basically towards the fretboard as opposed to back to the sound.
Otherwise get a bit too much bottom end of the guitar. You know?
And then what do you do for your guitar, your electric guitar? I presume you amp and mic the amp, right?
Yeah.
But do you use, what do you use usually for your guitar amp?
Either a 57 or a ribbon mic or, you know, the Sennheiser little flat square one, the 509. That sounds good on it.
Do you hang it over the cabinet real close? So you pretty much keep it close.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, only because in that apartment, I had to keep everything kind of isolated a bit so I could close the door and be the engineer guy and playing at the same time without hearing too much of the actual amp. You know? Mm-hmm.
And also there was some sort of building going on. It did, like... Remember there was like
there was construction.
Construction.
In the place next door. So
I was like, oh my God.
So we had to wait till they were fixing the roof. That's right.
But when you record now, for example, when you recorded Freedom in Austin, did you pull the mics back and get more air, or did you keep it pretty close?
It was still pretty close, but that was I can't remember Dave's surname. He had a beautiful studio built into a church, an old church.
And Fred as well. We did Fred's studio too.
And... But that was fairly close mic, the little amp, yeah.
It's a great sound. I mean, it's a testament to the mics that you're using because they're it's a full sound. You know, I tend now to want to pull the mic back more because you hear the guitar breathe.
Well, ideally I would have both.
Yeah.
But I didn't have the luxury of that in Sydney. I can't quite remember.
Well, I told you we'd go by really fast. We're already out of time.
Wow. And
I haven't even
gone fast.
I have so many. I have another half an album at least or more. But I want to mention, I want to thank you guys for coming on. And I want to mention the two albums that I was playing clips from. Definitely check out Shot of Gold, both of them, and Freedom. But just these albums, just put them on headphones and listen to what's doing. It's so clean. The recording is such a clear recording. And proof that you can do it if you have a good home with a high ceiling, it sounds great. But I mean, no, it's a testament to you of the how you it's the
Thank
talent. You know,
I should say also that Freedom was mixed by my brother Philip Punch.
Oh,
and he did have a beautiful studio to mix that in, which he was running at that point. So mm-hmm. I didn't have that luxury on Shot of Gold. I had to do it myself, but. My brother Phil did a great job on Freedom.
Well, both of them are really clear. And Freedom is a tough mix because there's a lot more guitars. And you're using a lot more electric stuff going on. And a lot of more, when you have distorted guitars, it fills up really fast. But it's an amazing, amazing stuff. And one day I want to hear Pray for the Love live. I think that's my request.
We should try to work it out for a show in LA we've got coming up on the 27th
that could be
April.
Yes. Now, let's talk a little bit real quick because we're almost out of time. You're playing at Viva Catina.
Yeah.
From Thursday, and that's going to be on the 27th of April. And we tell people to come down around 8 o'clock. They'll probably start before 8:30. And they have the whole night. It's going to be a full band thing with Jackie and Mark. And who else do you have on
We've got
the bill?
Nick Gaffney playing drums. And
Is he the one who lays down the
Yeah, he's a New Zealand drummer.
Yeah, that's very cool.
He's a great drummer. And then on bass, we've got a great bass player. And he plays everything. His name's Shibin. Yeah.
And is there any place to get tickets or you just go down?
The tickets, if you go to Viva Cantina, you should be able to get it that way. You also have it on your page, right?
Yeah, I posted the flyer that you had given me.
Yeah, there's a link on there too.
So okay, so yeah. Check that. You can check that out on the.
It's a good deal. It's just $10.
Yeah. Yeah, and you can rock up on the night too. But it kind of makes us feel good if you get the tickets early.
And if you're not familiar with it, Viva Canteen. It's a Mexican restaurant. There's easy parking a lot across the street at the Pickwick Entertainment Center where the bowling alley is, and there's a horse ranch behind it, so it's perfect for you guys. Very country.
Well, I want to thank you guys for coming on the show. It's really a pleasure to have you both on, and it's just great music, and we just scratched the surface, so you guys got to come back. That's all that means is that, you know, there's more shows we have to talk about.
Sounds good to us.
And now, do I have a song to take us out, or do you guys want to play something?
What do you think?
I think you should play.
I think you should play.
Okay, I just changed my tuning. Hopefully, I'm in tune. I was sneaking in a little tuning while I was.
Everybody, have a great week. We'll see you next week, and I'm going to snap pictures while you guys are playing.
I hear the river. I see the river.